Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life. This is a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you have a topic or any text in the Bible that you want to understand, hey, send us an email and we are going to work on it and teach it. This is our job. We welcome all of you today, and we pray that you will just enjoy our time of fellowship. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, lead us in prayer.
Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, I give you thanks for this day that you've given us, and most of all this time to gather together as believers, no matter where we are in this world, to fellowship and to study your word. Lord, I just ask that you bless this time, speak to our hearts and to our minds, and draw us closer to you, Father. Just continue to illuminate the things that are spiritual and building us up, Father. Thank you again, and we just give praise to you and pray to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Okay, let's turn into our Bibles. We are in Genesis, and you know the discussion. We are discussing cultural marriages in the Old Testament, and we are on Cain. Where did he get his wife? This is the point of discussion tonight. All right, great. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 16 to 17, and let me read that for you. And I'm reading from the NIV version, Genesis chapter 4, beginning at 16 to 17. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lived with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. Now, this is one of the most controversial texts that is in the Bible. Skeptics have used the question of Cain's wife to discredit Genesis through historical account. That's been the problem. They are saying if Cain gets a wife, then they believe there were other races on this earth that would have enabled Cain to get a wife. But that's the discussion. And the fact here is Christians have not been able to give an adequate answer to this question. As a result, the world thinks Christians cannot defend the authority of Scripture and thus the Christian faith. In 1925, the state of Tennessee prosecuted one Mr. John Thomas Coates for teaching evolution in the public school system. Now, at that time, the Bible was taught in school. Don't forget that. The whole thing had changed. But at that time, the state of Tennessee represented almost like the church. They were saying teaching evolution in the school was not right. So this man who was an evolutionist was prosecuted by the state. However, the case went on. The state lawyer by the name of William Jennings Barron won the case. But something happened. The anti-Christian lawyer, Clarence Darrow, asked him a series of questions that he could not answer. Here is the point. He spiritualized his answers. Well, for me and for you who are Christians, you will understand. But he was talking to agnostics, to atheists. So the whole case turned the situation, even though the state won the case and it was in favor of Christianity, but the press took it. And the press magnified this case in a way that even though the state won the case and it was in favor of Christianity, but it turned against Christianity. The situation was, hey, the Christians cannot answer questions in their own Bible regarding King's wife. Another agnostic by the name of Carl Sager used the same question in his book, Contact. And the movie Contact was based on his book. He came and wrote a book on this movie. And that book became a movie. And in it, lawyer could not answer his own question. That was a situation that was faced by the church. So we know that today the same thing is on from time to time. Christians want to know. Skeptics have claimed, note carefully, that there must have been other races of people on the earth who were not descendants of Adam and Eve for King to find a wife. Christian scholars need to be able to account they were holding her responsible for the issue of King's wife and show clearly that she was a descendant of Adam and Eve. That was the case. Most Christian scholars have one major view in answer to King's wife issue. And we will take a fresh look at the next by proposing a second view for your consideration. What we're doing in this study, Christians have come out with a comprehensive approach and giving an answer to this question. But in our study, we have come out with a second view. So what we're going to do in this study is, at the end of this study, the participant will be able to understand the two views in answer to King's wife. The most, the traditional views and the views that we are proposing in this study, you will be able to understand it and be able to make your own decision. Know the genealogy from Adam to King and his wife. Believe and understand the various debates about King's wife. Be able to decide the position to accept among the two views. Discover and believe that King's marriage was cultural. Understand that there was nothing like sin or incest during the pre-fall, but sin dominated human history after the fall, which included what? Incest. This has been the problem. Skeptic need an answer. Agnostics want to know. And these are issues from time to time that we will discuss. So here, the question that skeptics, agnostics, and other one is where? I keep asking this same question. Where did he get his wife? And the first thing I want us to know, the word king, the name king, means a possession or a spear. At one point, and I want you to note this very carefully, in the Webb Bible Encyclopedia, it described King this way. Listen carefully. A sullen, self-willed, haughty, vindictive man, and defiant even in his attitude towards God. This is a don't care person. His attitude towards God, he just don't care. The Bible records only three persons at the time. That was Adam, Eve, and Cain. Cain's wife was not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. We only know that he took a wife, but the name of the wife was not mentioned anywhere. And I have not read about that. However, in Genesis 5:4 says that Adam had other sons and daughters, and that Adam lived for 930 years. The Bible says Adam had other sons and daughters. The names, the numbers were not mentioned in the Bible. But we have another source. The historian Josephus recalls this. He was a Jewish historian. Recalls in footnote eight of Antiquities of the Jews in book one that Adam had 33 sons and 23 daughters. That is a total of 66. I mean 56 children. Well, that is from historical perspective. So really, this is what this Jewish historian at the time wrote about Adam, that Adam had other children. The Bible said Adam had other sons and daughters. And Josephus said that the sons were 33 and the daughters were 23. So the reason why we are looking at this is that it gives us an idea that when Adam had other children and daughters, so it was not only Adam and his wife and the young men alone were living, but they began to multiply. The people at that time, you know, they lived an average of 800 years. So the family may have developed a sizable population rapidly. You know, at the time, they put live for a very long time. So you know that. So the family may have developed rapidly. So there was a lot of them at the time. So now, let us look at the first view. The first view say Cain married one of his family members, either his sister or one of his nieces. That's the biblical answer that scholars have given. Many prominent Bible scholars have argued that Cain married a sister or niece or grandniece at that time, because it was Adam and his wife Eve and their children were living in the world according to scripture. So scholars are saying that at the time he married one of his sisters or niece or grandniece, because there have been procreations, they were rapidly populating the earth. So Adam married to one of the family members. That has been the answer from most respected scholars. All right. It appears that at first, now, this is George McDowell. We all know George McDowell. He is a great scholar. He's still alive, and we have seen his writing, a great apologist. This is what he said, and I quote, "It appears that at first, sons and daughters of the first couple had to marry each other to populate the earth." That was the case. Scripture did not tell us exactly at what point in time Cain murdered his brother, we don't know, Abel, or married his wife, or built his city. We do not have that timetable. So say it took 20 years, or 40 years, or 50 years. We do not have that. All right, so that we do not have. With Cain building a city, it would imply that a few hundred years may have passed before all these events took place, and that's it. Few years may have passed because we don't know. However, marrying within the family raises the question of incest. That's the main point. Now, how do we explain this? So scholars began to argue and to present facts and findings from their research. Now, the same George McDowell also said, we know he's a great scholar. I need not to keep making emphasis on that. But he said, and I quote, "Since Adam and Eve were created directly by God and perfect, can be presumed that their gene pool was perfect. So marrying relatives and having children will probably not have produced defective offspring. And that you can get from his book, The Bible Handbook of Difficult Verses. You can get it from his book, but this is what he said. And he went on to justify further. And I quote him again. When sin entered the world, however, death, disease, and destruction followed. And this gene pool would have gradually become corrupted. Had sin not entered the world, it's possible that there would have never been a genetic problem with the intermarrying of relatives. You get back from his book. Here, this is his argument, and say, well, look, they were perfect in their creation, so they didn't have anything with their genes. And so, but over a period of time, their genes got corrupted. And I want to ask, Abraham, are you there?
I am.
Oh, I think you said you have a note on this one here.
I do. Well, I want to back up a second.
Okay.
First, I want to caution our listeners and our viewers to be careful of accepting alternative views of other races or aliens or some other extra biblical concept.
Right.
You know, science today interprets the present by extrapolating from the past.
Uh-huh.
My contention is that this is problematic. You know, just as investors are warned that past performance of a stock, an equity, doesn't indicate future trends, the same is true with science. You know, just what we see today doesn't mean everything's operated that way.
I agree.
As we know it.
That's
we weren't
true.
There. We cannot know that. So we have to be careful with that. So we don't want to make the mistake of believing that everything today operates the same as it did in the past. In fact, Scripture tells us that it doesn't, that there were several major events that changed everything. These
mm-hmm.
include the fall and the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So on the seventh day, God rested. You know, God spoke to Adam, commanding him to be fruitful and to multiply. God gave Adam everything he needed to fulfill this command. No other races are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture should be sufficient for us, and the answer is often found in the Word. We
right.
just need to look. Not in some mystical or esoteric text or some other person walking today that's prescribing some other gospel. No, it is in the Scripture. So in Genesis 1:28, Scripture tells us, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply,
uh-huh.
and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So accepting other races is a weak faith position.
Mm-hmm.
Twice the world repopulated from just a few.
Right.
In the time of Adam and in the time of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both these times, so the time of Adam and the time of Noah, we see the world repopulated. You know, if there were other races during the time of Cain, they would have been eradicated in the flood. So
right.
I say this, if we accept that God is omnipotent and omniscient, then could he not create and endow a single person with entire genetic code and potential to fulfill the earth and to fulfill his commandment? Absolutely. So Scripture says through one man, all have sinned. Not other races. You know, Scripture is the supreme authority.
Right.
Therefore, all are descendants of Adam. So there cannot be other races. You know, through
right.
all through one man, all have sinned. And because all have sinned, a Savior and a Redeemer is necessary. So what is important is Jesus. His existence and our faith in him is fundamental to our faith.
Uh-huh.
Cain's wife is sequential. You know, this is likely why her name is not mentioned. You know, it's an inconsequential fact. It's not fundamental to our faith. But Christ
right.
and his redemption is. So, and then as you go a little bit further, I got a couple other thoughts for you, but I'll save those for
thank
for
you,
a little
thank
bit.
You, thank you. You are right. I agree. Biologically, incest was presumably dangerous and resulted in deformed, moronic or otherwise defective offspring. Now, in his book, The Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings, Dr. Henry Morris, one of the respected scholars in this century, provided the following regarding Cain's wife. And I just want to read that for you. Quote, "As Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, presumably from somewhere near the Garden of Eden, where he and Abel had brought their sacrifices, he left Eden altogether, journeying eastward to the land of Nod. Since the word Nod means wandering, it is possible that there was not an actual geographical region, but merely a figure of speech for Cain's perpetual manner of life from that time on. Since the next verse mentions a city that Cain built, however, it does seem more likely that he actually dwelt for a while in a land called Nod, where his wife, presumably a sister, as noted above, born him his firstborn son, Enoch." Now, unquote. This great scholars have outlined and the whole thing, that Cain left the presence of the Lord, and the word Nod, it means he was wandering. He was just going up and down. He was wandering. Okay, he was just going up and down. But at the same time, we also know Scripture said that he built a city. So, and that city, I want us to be very, very careful as we go along. That city, when Scripture talks about he built a city, you cannot compare it to, you cannot think about it in light to the kind of city that we have today. One city in our time here, like the city that I live in, you got so many hundreds of thousands people here. All right? But those days, when the Greek word used for a city and it was fenced, it was a little town. Let me say a village. All right? Let me use the term village instead of a town. It was like a little village. But at the time, if you have a little village where you have other family members there with you, you had to protect yourself by fencing the whole thing. So he was in a little village or in a little town. You cannot look at it like a town today, but they fenced that place. So when Scripture talks about he was in a city, that's an English translation. So we think about a city like, you know, New York City or that city or this great city. No, that's not what the Scripture is saying here. And then when we are making interpretation, we got to be careful. At that time, it was just a little village with few people living in there, few family members, and they fenced it. So don't think about it in light of the city today. Now, that is the presentation. Let me just recap, you know, that we look at it from a different perspective. Scholars have said, in answer to this question, listen carefully. Cain married a sister or niece, and the city in question was really not a city like what we have, but it was a little village or town that was fenced. And who lived there? They were only relatives. At that time, they have multiplied. They occupied many areas, so it was not a different tribal group that came from somewhere, as skeptics are claiming. No, that's not it. All right. Let us look at some oppositions and towards this and what other people have said about it. Let's try to look at it. Other people have said a lot of things about this. Okay. Now, most people reject the incestuous marriage because it was forbidden by the law of Moses on moral grounds. Now, we know the Mosaic law condemned it and said, on moral grounds, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. Other had argued that a wife, listen, is related to her husband even before they marry, because all people are descendants of Adam and Eve. We are one blood. The other people say, well, why must you say that? We are one blood. So before you marry your wife, that we are one blood. These are the arguments that are on. The law forbidding marriage between close relatives was not given until the time of Moses. That's why other people argue. Well, Moses' law came after so many hundred years. So it was true that God approved of sexual marriage in the beginning of human history for the sake of procreation or to populate the earth. These are being the argument. Something about avoiding the incestuous marriage about King's wife, it will open a major debate regarding other race prior to Adam and Eve. And that's true. That's been the problem. If you avoid that, then you open other doors. But this is what we want to note here. God forbid this. And that is the problem. God said in his word that this should not be done. And let me just give you a few areas and just note it down yourself that you cannot do in Mosaic law. God forbid mother and son to get married. You can't do that. The Mosaic law says that's not good. You cannot marry with a stepchildren. Your stepchildren, you can't marry them. With an aunt, with a sister or half-sister. Leviticus 18:9, Deuteronomy 27:22, the texts are there. With half-sister and stepsister, you cannot marry to anybody in that category. You can find that in Leviticus 18:11. You cannot marry with daughter-in-law, with your daughter-in-law. You can't do that. You look at that in Leviticus 18:15. You cannot also do the same with your sister-in-law, with your granddaughter, with your step-granddaughter. Now look at that. God is saying in Leviticus, in the Mosaic law, that you cannot marry within your own family. So the problem, the question that comes to mind is this. But then what happened? What happened? And the thing that happened is that next week, we want you to come, that you will listen to the second view that we are proposing. Invite somebody. This view that we're going to learn next week, it's in opposition to this view. This view says that Cain married one of his sisters or nieces or within the family. And this view says that at the beginning of human history, God allowed that. And you see the argument with scholars that I said, because of the genes. The genes were pure. So when you come next week in our study, we're going to prove to you, verse by verse, and document by document, that we disagree with this view, and we are proposing an alternative view to this, which we know. And then after the discussion the next week, you will come on the table, you will sit at the table and conclude which view you will accept. God is God. And so we have presented the traditional view today. Next week, come back for the second view that we are proposing, and you invite somebody. We cannot go further because of time tonight, but invite somebody. So we start here, and we hope you learn something tonight. If you have any question, I have unmuted everyone. You can ask your question, and we will answer it, but make sure to contact us. Do you have a question or anything or any comments you want to make? Everyone, this is a Bible study. You are welcome. If you are on the phone, you know what to do so that you will call in. You are already in there. Everyone is unmuted. You can just ask your question. If you are on the computer, you are unmuted already. You can ask your question. Now we wait. All right. Okay, any question? All right, okay, well, praise the Lord. You got the message tonight, but don't forget to come next week. Hey, Rob, do you have any concluding remark?
I think I'll just hold.
Hello?
Yeah, I think I'll just hold. I'll hold my thoughts.
Okay, good. Until next week. Just hold it until next week, because next week is our time. Okay, that's good. Next week. Thank you. All right, if there's no questions, we thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight, and pray that the Lord will bless all of us. And then we ask Brother Rob to lead us in our closing prayer. Can you do that?
Heavenly Father, again, I give you thanks for this study and this time to dig into your word and to search out your truth, Father, not anything other. Thank you again for this study and this fellowship. In your son's precious name I pray. Amen.
Oh, man.